This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت السميع القريب المجيب. My dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask Allah Ta'ala that you're in the best of iman and the best of health, you and your loved ones, bi-idhnillah. It's no secret that one of the biggest complaints of so many women at this time is how stressed and overwhelmed we often feel with the endless amount of things we need to get done each day. And if there's one lesson I hope we've learned from having Ramadan in the midst of this pandemic, it's how much more at peace we can feel when we're forced to slow down and spend more time alone, and especially if we're able to spend more time alone with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is one particular aspect of our life that, until we give it the priority it deserves, we'll never feel a sense of true balance and tranquility in our lives. And that's why it's actually amazing, if you think about it, that Allah Ta'ala ordered us to worship Him, not because He needs us to worship Him, but because of how much our souls are in need to worship Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because just like Allah Ta'ala made food the nourishment of our bodies, He made the nourishment of our souls ibadah. So that's why as long as someone isn't giving their spiritual state the time out and nourishment that it needs, then you'll find the soul will always be in a state of discontent and you'll never feel the true sense of tranquility in your life. Long before I had heard anything about life coaches or life coaching, I found my inspiration from knowing about the lives and wisdom of the ulama and scholars of Islam. Just take one inspiration from Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who said that a person must have times in which they isolate themselves for dua, dhikr, prayer, pondering, muhasabatun nafs, calling themselves to account and rectifying themselves. And despite his extremely busy schedule of, you know, teaching, giving fatawa, researching, writing books, you find that one of the habits of Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is that he'd always take time out from his day for solitude and dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And when he was questioned about that, he would say that hadhihi ghadawti, this is my nourishment. Walau lam ataghadda al-ghada saqatat quwwati, if I don't take this time out for my nourishment, then my strength goes away from me. If I'm not tapping into that strength from Allah Azza wa Jal, then my strength goes away from me. So what I want to speak about today are basically five tips for finding time for your spirituality when you're flat out. So the first of these tips is to learn to live consciously. You know, when you wake up in the morning, wake up with the intention in your heart to live this day for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You know, just lie there for a minute. Say the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Take that moment out to, you know, praise Allah Ta'ala and thank Him for restoring life back to you and giving you this day. And then put in your intention that you're going to use this day for the sake of Allah. Like Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily, my prayer, my sacrificing, my living and my dying is all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And the reason why this is so powerful is because when you make a conscious decision to live your life with ihsan, you find that you wake up and go to sleep with purpose, regardless of how mundane your life may be. And all those boring chores that you have to do each day, even if it's simply, you know, cleaning your house, they can become an act of ibadah for you that gives you a sense of fulfillment. Because you know that nothing you do for the sake of Allah is ever wasted with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point that I have for you today is avoid taking on too much. One of the biggest mistakes we tend to make as women is we give out so much to others. You know, we throw ourselves wholeheartedly into our work, our volunteering, and then as a result, we end up completely neglecting ourselves. And often this can also mean neglecting our spiritual selves. Sometimes you'll find people who could be doing so much in the public eye, yet if you look at the state of their private deeds, you find that their private acts of ibadah are often suffering and being neglected as a result of all that they're doing. You might find that, you know, for example, their prayers, they have to delay their prayers, or if they pray them, they hardly concentrate and have khushu in their prayers, or maybe they even miss their prayers altogether. You know, they won't have time to, you know, they're not making time to sit and reflect over the Quran and time to read the Quran or to do dhikr in their day. And it's all because they're putting too much on their plate. So we need to learn to say no, you know, and don't overdo it. You need to learn to prioritize your life. And, you know, we can learn a lot from the advice that Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu gave to Abi al-Darda when he was overdoing it in one aspect of his life. And he said to him, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqqa." Verily your Lord has a right over you. "Wa li nafsika alayka haqqa." And yourself has a right over you. "Wa li ahlika alayka haqqa." And your family has a right over you. "Fa'ati kulladhi haqqin haqqa." Give everything that has a right over you, it's right. So we need to learn to put things into priority. And as you can see here, your Lord has the most right over you, then yourself is next. And then after that, other people, subhanAllah. So sisters, if you know what you're doing outside the house or even online is making you so busy that you don't even have time for the basic things in your deen, that's when you know it's time to have a good look at your life and cut back on certain things. And especially if it's going to the extent where it's starting to affect your prayers. You know, always ponder on this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Inna awwala ma yuhasabu bihi al-'abd yawm al-qiyamah min 'amalihi salatuh." The first thing that a person will be called to account for from his actions on the day of resurrection is his prayers. "فَإِنْ صَلَحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ." If his prayers were in order, then he will be successful. But if he, you know, his prayers were neglected, then he will be a loser. May Allah protect us. So what is the use of, you know, so-called success in this dunya if we're not successful in the akhirah because we've neglected, you know, the state of our prayers? So always, like I said, we need to put things into priority. The next thing is to, the third point is, you know, to cut down on time wasters. We always say we have no time, but when you take a good look at how much time we spend on things like social media, or, you know, watching series after series, or even just, you know, socializing for a lot of people, the reality is that we have the time, but we waste most of it. You know, there's a certain place you can go in your phone where you can have a look at how many hours you've actually spent on each app online. And, you know, let's be honest, one of the reasons that many of us feel a lot more stressed these days is we spend far more time opening our phones than we do on those activities that, you know, bring peace to our hearts and minds, like, for example, opening our mushaf. And if you have a look at some of the unhealthy habits we've developed, no sooner do we finish praying, even before we start saying our adhkar after salah or praying our sunnah, what's the first thing a lot of us tend to do? We go and grab our phone and start scrolling on it. Or first thing in the morning, before taking that moment to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that dua I mentioned earlier, what do we do first? We tend to grab our phone and start going through it. And then the same thing happens before we're about to sleep. Instead of lying there remembering Allah and sleeping upon remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we doing? We're falling asleep with our phones in our hands and forgetting to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon sleeping. So you can see why, you know, we're often feeling higher levels of stress, because in general, we know that just being on your phone too much can cause you to feel more stressed out. So this is why it's also important to realize how much activities like spending time on social media are actually eating up your time in so many ways. And this is why we need to learn how to use, you know, there's no problem with, you know, connecting to social media. We all use it, but you've got to learn how to use it wisely and not let it overtake your life, so that we no longer have those special times out, like taking that special time out for dhikr and reflection. We've got to preserve that for ourselves. The fourth point that I wanted to share with you is to have a realistic outlook on life. You're not always going to have the luxury of having that time for your ibadah in the way that you want. And this is exactly why Allah Ta'ala tells us at the end of Surah Sharh, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, that, you know, when you become free from your busyness with the things in this world, وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, then you fully devote your time to your ibadah and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart full of hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So realize there's going to be times where you're simply not going to, you know, find the time you'd like in order to relax and to do your ibadah. You know, things come up in life. It's normal. We go through certain crises in life, you know. There'll be times as well where you're raising small children, or you've got exams, or maybe you're nursing a sick loved one. But when you're going through those times, you know, just have the intention that, you know, once this stage ends, because there will be an end, every stage has its end, you'll have that time back again, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to, you know, dedicate yourself fully to your ibadah. And also remember that if this is what Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you right now, then this is what He wants you to seek your reward with right now, inshallah, as well. Okay, so the fifth point is to savor your moments of ibadah time. We need to realize how much our soul is in need of time out for quality ibadah. And that's why no matter how busy your day is, there are certain acts of ibadah that should be considered as non-negotiables for you. Now, obviously, we mentioned it before, but, you know, the five prayers has to be a non-negotiable. You know, you have to learn to organize your life around your prayers and not your prayers around your life. And that's why, you know, when you feel like your life is in a mess, start by fixing up your prayers. Because a person who hasn't got their prayers in order, you'll see how their life just feels so out of control. So you realize that, you know, the five prayers actually bring structure to your day, subhanAllah. And then the other thing is that, you know, you need to teach yourself to savor these moments for prayer. Just slow down and try to enjoy your prayer and turn your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your prayer as if you're standing in front of Him right now on the Day of Judgment and you can see Him in front of you. Like the Messenger of Allah described to us about what is al-ihsan, and ta'budu Allaha ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him, and even if you can't see Him, then know that He sees you. So we need to realize that our prayers are what give us that pause that we're all missing in this chaotic life. And these prayers should be giving us that momentary relief from all of our stress and worries. That's exactly why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that Allah Ta'ala made the coolness of my eyes in a salah. SubhanAllah, because He found His refuge in the salah. You know, life is crazy, subhanAllah. So many things happen, so many problems, overwhelming things. But if we dive into our prayer in the way that Allah wants us, we would find that refuge and we'd find that momentary relief from all of these stresses and worries that we're going through, inshallah. And of course, it's very important to also pre-plan your prayer. Like if you've got young children, you do need to learn to pre-plan your prayer. You know, like try to pray them in the beginning of the prayer times, like the first half an hour to an hour. But you need to pre-plan how you're going to do that. Obviously, when you've got small children, it's hard. So you've got to get them settled down so that you can have that time out to do your prayer with in peace. And you know that you can hold your baby as well if you need to. Okay, so besides that as well, from the non-negotiables that we were speaking about, is you need to be to make time for Quran every day. Even if it's only half a page you read before going to bed or after you pray Fajr prayer. But there has to be that time where, you know, you sit and reflect over the ayat. You know, you need to have that time out to feel the sakina, you know, the tranquility and serenity of reciting, and also doing the tadabbur of the ayat, you know, like pondering over the ayat and trying to seek the meanings from the ayat and how they apply to your life and what is the guidance Allah's trying to give you through these verses you're reading, you know, and make yourself feel how much these words of Allah Ta'ala are strengthening you and feeding your soul. Okay, this all has a huge effect on you. The other thing too is you need to have that scheduled time for adhkar and making du'as. Like we're talking about the, you know, du'as of the morning and evening. You need to have scheduled time. So, you know, you can do those du'as anytime after basically Fajr all the way up until Dhuhr time. And then you've got the evening du'as, which you can say from any time from after Asr, even after Maghrib if you are running late. You know, you don't just say all those du'as in the book, in the like the Fortress of a Muslim book, you've got the du'as. You don't have to say all those du'as. Say some of them at least. But just make it a daily habit that you don't miss these du'as. And then, as well as that, you've got after your prayers. That's another scheduled time for doing dhikr. And then also before sleeping and as soon as you wake up, they're also scheduled times that you should make sure that you don't miss those times for, you know, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing too, I always like to mention is that, you know, when you're menstruating, you need to make sure that you focus on saying a lot more dhikr throughout your day and keep saying your morning and evening du'as every day. You know, realize that you're even more in need of making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, refueling yourself spiritually when you're menstruating and not able to obviously pray. So you have to, you know, fill that gap that you've got there through, you know, by not praying. And whenever you have a scheduled time for dhikr, you know, like when you're saying your dhikr after your prayers, it's very important as well. Like I was saying before, like you've got to make yourself savor these moments, sisters, you know, slow down and focus more on what you're saying and the meaning of what you're saying. Let yourself feel subhanAllah, you know, feel the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're saying it. You know, focus on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're making dhikr of Him, subhanAllah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, walhamdulillah, right? Make yourself feel the greatness of these words and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, this is what mindfulness is all about. That subhanAllah, Allah has already given us in Islam. That if you're doing all of this properly, you'll see how much more calm and tranquil your life will become and how much more clarity Allah Ta'ala will give you as a result of all of this, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. And that's why, my dear sisters, whenever you find yourself feeling stressed or anxious or feeling down, just stop yourself for a minute and have an honest look at how much quality time you're actually dedicating for your ibadah. And I want to leave you today with a beautiful quote from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in which he says, "Inna fi dunya jannah." Verily in this world there is a jannah. "Man lam yadkhulha." Whoever does not enter the jannah of this world, "lam yadkhul al-jannah al-akhirah." They would not enter the Jannah of the next life, subhanAllah. And that Jannah, dear sisters, is tasting the sweetness of being alone with Allah Ta'ala and enjoying our worship of Him. And sisters, that's something that we can't do that unless we're making our ibadah a priority in our lives and then also savoring the limited moments that we have for it. So in conclusion, I ask Allah Ta'ala to help us all taste the sweetness of worshipping Him and to increase the level of peace and tranquility in our lives. I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love for reciting the Quran and the love for standing before Allah in our salah and our love for remembering Him and making dua of Him and doing all the acts of worship that He's given us. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. O Allah, help us to remember and thank You often and to worship You in the most perfect way that You deserve. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.